Hey guys, episode 271. We'll talk to Russell Dickerson. He's stopping by the house. Bobby and Eddie's music school. I'll tell you some surprising stories about TV theme songs. And Eddie talks about Chris Gaines, who was Garth Brooks' character. Obviously, we do the new music top five every week. My top five things, elements, albums that I'm most excited about. At number five, the sons of Stone Temple Pilots, Guns N' Roses, and Metallica members have formed a new band called Suspect 208. Now, to me, this is just interesting, maybe a little too hard for you, but they released their first song this week called Long Awaited. She tries hard to get me. They keep intercepting. The skin is so sexy. It's just cool that all those guys' sons are now in a band together. And it sounds pretty good. I mean, if that's your style of music. At number four, Miranda Lambert has a new song called Champion. It's from the Make It Up As We Go podcast soundtrack. Here you go. So I do it all again. Everything I had to lose to win. It's every time I think my world might end. It's the fall before the climb. Broken heart. At number three, Morgan Wallen released a few new songs. Here is a clip of one of them called Living the Dream. Go back a couple episodes and hear the talk with Morgan Wallen. It's really good. At number two, new artist Nikita Carmen has a new song out called Pirates Tonight. And then number one, Matt Carney put out a song recently called Grand Canyon, which is a jam, but he just released another one that's called Can't Look Back. And here it is. Go ahead and rest your eyes, cause you can't look back. You can't look back. Also music from Wolfgang Van Halen, Eddie Van Halen's son, his first single called Distance. No matter what the distance is, I will be with you. No matter what the distance is, you'll be okay. And Walker Burroughs has a new Christmas song called Christmas Lights. Still waiting for the snow to fall. Doesn't really feel like Christmas at all. Taylor Acorn has a new song called Somebody Else. Tim McGraw has a Greatest Hits album. And Shawn Mendes and Justin Bieber have a new song called Monster. Then am I the monster? Just let me. Albums coming out this week. Garth Brooks released Fun and Triple Live Deluxe, but you can't get that on the streaming services unless you go to Amazon, right?
That's it.
Yeah. Sarah Buxton has a new EP out called Signs of Life, and Lady A released a deluxe edition to Ocean, so check that out. In music news, Scooter Braun sells the masters of Taylor Swift. I wouldn't say they're Taylor Swift's masters because she doesn't own them.
True.
But he sold the masters that he bought that Taylor Swift wants to buy back. She's not happy. It's a whole situation. I don't want anybody's camp busting me on Instagram for saying anything. You know what? Because I don't care. But it's the most in the weeds music conversation that I've ever seen be so public.
Yeah.
You know, I know Kanye was trying to buy his, but it's nothing compared to this.
Yeah, this is a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot. So good luck to both of them. Let them both be very happy in their life with their gabillions of dollars. The Waffle House Jukebox top songs are in. At number five, The Weeknd, Can't Feel My Face. At number four, Tevin Campbell, Can We Talk? Old school jam.
Yeah.
At number three, Justin Bieber, Yummy. Which is what I sing every time I get that waffle. Location by Khalid at number two. Send me location, let me focus on. And then number one, Tennessee Whiskey by Chris Stapleton. Other music news, Dolly Parton helped fund the vaccine for Moderna. She donated $1 million to Vanderbilt, and that's where it went. Now they got a vaccine's about 95% effective. Let's go, baby. Gwen Stefani is leaving The Voice. Lil Nas X says he got tired of Old Town Road. Hey, join the club, bud. Although I do like it again now it comes on. I'm still tired of it until I realize, Like, I'm like, oh, I'm tired of that song. But when it comes on and I'm not expecting it to be on, I'm always like, I'm going to sin. And I'm like, oh, I forgot I'm tired of the song. Yeah, there you go. That's your new music and your music news. Thank you, guys.
Bobby and Eddie's Music School is now in session.
Up in the morning and out to school. All right, in my side of music school, I'm going to teach you about the five surprising stories behind TV theme songs that you know.
Okay, cool.
At number five, the most surprising, number five, for Cheers. The original theme was more about Ted Danson's character Sam, and instead of the lines like you hear here, for thing you got.
This is not the original theme.
Nah, this is the one that we hear now. The original said stuff like, singing the blues when the Red Sox lose.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
It's a crisis in your life. On the run, because all your girlfriends want to be your wife.
Nice. It's all about him, yeah.
Right. So, because the show was, even though it was very much about Sam, it was all about Sam at the beginning.
Yeah.
So, Cheers, that's not the original song. This is the one they went with, though. Number four, The Andy Griffith Show. Do you know that theme?
That's it. Whistle.
Nice. You better now, because he played it already. The composer named Earl Hagen, who also did the themes for Dick Van Dyke Show and That Girl, was struggling with this until he goes, all right, we just got to keep it simple. He said, quote, I thought, that thing ought to be simple enough to whistle. And it took him about 10 minutes to write it. He whistled it himself on the track, despite the fact he'd never whistled before in his life.
Wow.
So this is the guy just recording to a microphone.
That's cool. And he's never whistled before. I don't know how to whistle.
I have a rough whistle.
Do you? Do you have to put a lot of pressure in that whistle?
I can
to
do
get
two
something?
Whistles, right? I can do the high pitched one.
Mm-hmm.
That one.
Weak.
It's a little airy. That's actually my stronger one. I'm like, I don't even want to do the next one. Or I can do this one.
That's pretty good. That's like a train whistle.
That's like my lips going to an O.
Yeah.
Number three, The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Mm.
You probably know this one.
It's already a song, wasn't it?
No.
It wasn't?
This is a theme song.
I thought it was like a Will Smith song or something.
They wanted to embrace that they were basically doing the hip-hop Beverly Hillbillies, and they wanted the theme to tell the story of how Will ended up in Bel-Air. They had only about 3 weeks before the show premiered. Will Smith didn't have that much time. He wrote it in 15 minutes. It was like, just tell the story. Just tell the story. So don't make it such a song. Just tell the story.
That's cool.
There's no chorus to it.
Yeah, that's it.
All right, don't play this one yet. I'm going to tell the story first. Gilligan's Island.
Yeah.
The original theme was composed by John Williams, who later did Star Wars, Jaws, Indiana Jones. Yeah, all that. In that version, the professor is just a high school teacher. Ginger and Marianne are two secretaries, and the passengers take a 6-hour ride instead of a 3-hour tour.
Oh, wow.
Even after they changed their minds, the theme was tweaked. In the version that aired during season one, it ended with the movie star and the rest. But then it turned into the movie star, the professor and Marianne.
Wow.
So it made changes. Here's a Gilligan's Island theme.
Just sit right back and you'll hear a tale of a fateful trip. That started from this tropic port aboard this tiny ship. The mate was a mighty sailing man, the skipper brave and sure. 5 passengers set sail that day for a 3-hour tour.
That was going to be a 6-hour ride.
No, it doesn't sound good. 3-hour tour.
And then finally, the Friends theme song.
Oh.
Now, you know, bam, here's the clip from the Rembrandts. You know that song, right?
Yes, of course.
Tell me that life's gonna be this way. So this was the song they originally wanted to use. R.E.M., It's the End of the World as We Know It.
Same feel.
So that was the vibe they're aiming for. Like, this is the song we want to use. The Rembrandts were surprised when the theme premiered on the show because they didn't add the 4 claps.
Mm.
The thing that dang song's known most for.
Of course, the claps.
So the producers had tacked them on whenever adding that song to the theme. Isn't that crazy?
Nice. I like that.
There you go. That's from mentalfloss.com. Some of the surprising stories behind TV theme songs. Eddie, what do you have?
I have 21 years ago, Garth Brooks hosts Saturday Night Live, but there's a special show because he did it as a dual guest. Garth Brooks was the guest. Chris Gaines was the musical guest. So he did a skit. Here's a clip here of him doing a skit with Tracy Morgan.
Chris Gaines, the first time he see a knife, he gonna skate on you.
Man, he's soft, man. The dude is chicken. And he fat, too.
What?
Fat? He's fat. You can see the gut through that outfit, man. If you were that big, they'd be calling you Girth Brooks. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You got this soup can with you tonight, man. You should have booked Willie Nelson.
Hold on. You like Willie Nelson?
He smoked weed, right? That's what I'm talking about, man. Chris Gaines ain't live, man. His insides are pink.
That's funny.
Yeah, so Chris Gaines was the musical guest, and it's been the video clip of this performance has been pulled off YouTube, but don't worry, I found a clip.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, here it is. Now, what do you know about this whole Chris Gaines? Because this is a big deal. I mean,
it was supposed to be a movie, and this Chris Gaines project was the soundtrack to that movie, so it wasn't just a character he invented to do a record for.
Bingo.
The movie fell out. I think Chris Gaines was in an accident, and his face was messed up a little bit, and that's why it was like dark and covered. But that's what I know about it.
Yeah, you nailed it. I mean, it was supposed to be a movie, obviously, and they want to publicize the movie. They said, let's do a record first, and this will be the publicity. But dude, honestly, when this came out, I don't know if they intended it to be, but I think me included, we were all confused. Like, what is happening?
I didn't. I was like, Garth Brooks is playing another character. It's more ways to hear Garth Brooks.
I know. And it's funny, too, because I saw a documentary with the Garth documentary. It's an A&E doc or whatever. And Trisha Yearwood's talking about Chris Gaines. She's like, anyone that doesn't understand what Garth was trying to do with Chris Gaines, you're out of your mind. It was genius what he was trying to do. And she's got his back on that. And I don't think it was a bad thing. I just didn't understand it. And I think that was the problem with most of America. It was like, we didn't understand what he was trying to do. And I was like, is he trying to go rock?
Well, if you have to explain it, you need to dumb it down a little bit. That's the problem, just in general with all. You know, if you're known for something, you have to explain what you're doing. People aren't going to listen for an explanation. They just want to know and see if they like it or not.
Yeah, so I think they just chalked that one down as a loss. But here's his single that he released called Lost in You.
That's good.
Honestly, dude, if Garth wasn't a country superstar and this is what he did, we'd all accept it.
Absolutely. And he's singing in that higher register, too.
Yeah.
So it doesn't sound like, I got friends. Yeah. That's all. I remember that song. I like
Pretty
that
cool.
song.
Do you remember the Saturday Night Live performance?
No.
Yeah.
Do you?
Oh, yeah. I remember it being very confused about it.
Oh, really?
Oh, there you go.
All right. That's Music School.
Class dismissed. That was Bobby and Eddie's Music School.
I was just recording some stuff at the Opry, and what happened was you're playing the Opry this weekend.
Next weekend.
Okay, whatever the case is, I was recording promos for you, and I was doing some stuff backstage too, because some weekends I'm not able to be there because I'm shooting my Nat Geo show. Mm-hmm. So I go and we're shooting. That's why I have makeuped up. And
Breaking Bobby.
So we're off, and I'm reading your script, and it's like, hey, Russell Dickerson. And it says, it says Russell Dickerson, so many number ones. He's got 3 number ones. And I stop him. I go, whoa, guys, we need to fix the script here. Because I know for a fact Russell has 4 now.
Yeah, dude.
And they
Thank
were like,
you, bro.
You're welcome. I was looking
you're
out
looking
for you.
Out for your boy.
And they were like, oh, he does? Well, last time we looked, I said, well, this week he's got the number one song.
Bam.
So I was thinking about you. And,
thank you.
And congratulations.
I appreciate that, man. Huh. Thanks for looking out for your boy.
Do you feel, though, now with 4 number ones, like you can take a breath, not in a way of relaxing, but in not worrying that you won't stay?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, with everyone, it gets that way. And I think why this one is so special is because it's off album 2, you know? And I think this kind of nips the sophomore slump in the bud, you know?
This is the first song from the second album?
For, yeah.
But the full record is, hold on,
it's
have
not
no
out
notes.
Yet.
Right, it's called Southern
Symphony. Yeah.
I'm the biggest Russell Dickerson dude. Stan there is. So,
dude.
The song is out. The mm-hmm. record is not yet.
Record's
and you already have a number one before the record's even out.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, what else can you ask
dude,
for?
I don't know. That's like best case scenario. So it comes out December 4th.
Let me play your 4 number ones in case we have some brand new Russell
okay.
D fans.
All right.
Yours, here you go. I came to life when I first kissed you. The best which, by the way, funny story. I
Of course. I'm just going to go ahead and interrupt you there. Yes, I will come sing at your wedding.
Wasn't the question?
I absolutely will. Thank you for asking.
That's funny.
Okay.
Caitlin and I were listening to songs last night because she's trying to find a song to walk down the aisle to. She doesn't want to walk down to dun, 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 dun. Right. And we wanted to pick a song that meant a lot to us, but we were scrolling. And why I think about yours is because there's a whole wedding mix of this mm-hmm. song too that I didn't yeah. even know. It's mm-hmm. how is it different though?
It's just stripped back. There's no drums. There's no, there's no big guitar solo. It's like a kind of piano cello-y vibe.
But we didn't pick it, but it was up there yeah. in the top 10. I was like, hey, this song's really great. And
yeah.
I was like, I love Russell. We just didn't have a story to it as a couple. Yeah,
absolutely.
So I have to defend myself now. I'm like, hey man, that's a great song. Trust me. So that was your first number one. Here is Blue Tacoma. Here is Every Little Thing. I mean, that's a jam. Listen, of all of your... Listen, they're all good, right? But that's the one that it comes on, I can't get it out of my head.
That's the goal. I mean, that's the ultimate goal.
And, it's not a slow love song, so your sets, one of your big hits has got energy.
Got to, yeah. That's what was so huge about this song actually taking off, was like, we finally have more than... I mean, I remember having to teach people Blue Tacoma in the crowd, and so to have that, it's kind of mid-ish, but then Every Little Thing, bro, when that was popping.
Yeah, Blue Tacoma's a mid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so when Every Little Thing was just like,
nice.
Felt so good to have in the set.
And this, Love You Like I Used To, which feels like, just looking at the title, like you're saying, I don't love you like I used to in a bad way. Mm-hmm. Do you know that? Did you know that when you guys?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. All right. So, but it doesn't mean that at all.
No. So in the first verse, we kind of wanted that to be the kind of fake out. It's like, I've always loved you, but something's changed. Blame it on time, whatever, but it's not the same. And you know what I mean? It's up until the chorus just punches you in the face. That's what we wanted you to think, that it was a breakup song. But it's like, this gets better every time you kiss me like this. You know what I mean? So
I'm such a melody guy that it took me a while.
Sure.
I was like, okay, well, he's sad about something. But then I just knew, na 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 na. But then it took me a little bit, as just a guy that doesn't know lyrics.
Right.
Good though. Congratulations,
man. Thanks, man. It's a big week.
All of these songs, were all four of them written with the same folks?
Same folks, yeah. Casey Brown and Parker Welling. My Belmont friends. I tried the hit songwriter route. I don't have to name all the people, but I wrote with all the who's of songwriters, and it just didn't, the magic wasn't there.
Do they have, because I don't know either one of them, and I'm saying this in the most respectful way. Mm-hmm. There's obviously something that clicks with the battery of you three.
Sure.
Have they written other massive hits or big hits?
This is all our first four number ones.
That's freaking awesome.
So cool, man. At yours, the first number one we all had together, dude, I was just like standing up there. You know how you have the number one parties and everybody gather around, there's chips and salsa and everything. And I'm just like standing up on the stage just crying, because like it's been a long journey to get to this point, and for all three of us who went to Belmont together and all had our first number one together. It was just like one of those so super special moments.
Is that how you and Tyler Hubbard are friends?
Yeah.
From college?
Belmont, yeah. Mm-hmm. They came to one of my first shows ever.
Who's they?
Brian and Tyler. So they came, and I was probably playing to like eight people at 12th and Porter.
And two of them were Brian and Tyler.
Yeah. Yeah. So they were literally a quarter of the crowd. And it's just like they came up to me afterwards and were like, hey, bro, cool vibe, cool songs, whatever.
Oh, they weren't friends with yours then.
No.
They saw you play while you guys were both in school.
Yeah, yeah. And so they were like songwriters at the time. They were just like, we want to write. We've been writing songs together. So they invited me over. We wrote my pretty much first EP together with FGL, and that was like the start of it all. I mean, not for me. And then that was the start of it for them, because they went from just nothing to, they played me the demo for Cruise, and I was like, well, see y'all later, bro, because y'all are gone, taking off.
And you guys are like close family friends.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
You and Tyler mm-hmm, are.
Yeah, we're very close.
I feel like every second Instagram picture is you on his or his on yours.
Right.
Yeah. He's coronating right now.
He is, bro.
In the bus.
He is. He's straight up quarantining.
Have you talked to him?
Yeah, I have.
Is he playing? Well, like, is he playing video games? That's what I would do. I put myself in the mindset, if I was playing video games, or if I was trapped in a bus, I'd play mm-hmm. video games.
I would have all the time in the world to work, but I would keep going, well, since I have all this time, I'm not going to work yet. And my work would continue to be put off.
Yeah.
What is he doing?
I would be the same way. He told me he's written like 5 songs by himself already. Jeez. And he's just like, that's him though. He just like never stops. I mean, you never stop either.
But I don't have a talent. Like, I don't have a skill that...
Don't sell yourself short.
I'm telling you, this is the truth. My podcast, let me talk. I don't have something that I can just bet all the chips on and go, this is my talent, I stand behind it. My skill is knowing that my grind is going to keep me here.
Okay.
We've all worked extremely hard, but at least you can sing. I can do nothing. I go out and I fail and figure things out slowly but surely. But thank you for saying that.
But I think
you're never going to convince me I'm talented.
All right.
And when people tell me, if people are like, man, you're very talented, I get offended.
Okay.
If like, man, you're so talented. I'm
because
like,
you
no,
think
no.
they're demoted.
Yeah, because I'm like, no. I'm not talented at all.
Yeah.
I just show up.
Right.
Yeah.
You do.
Which is weird that I get upset at folks for telling me I'm talented. Like even when Russell said that, it triggered me. I was triggered.
Like,
I was like, that's not true. I was reading your wife's Instagram. Which, by the way, if you want to hear Russell's whole origin story, because you are basically an X-Man.
Basically. Yeah.
There's one of these with Russell and his wife the first time. Maybe the first time we met. That's when that was. No.
Yeah, we had right met around, before.
But... Right around then, because your wife saved me outside of the Ryman doing a show.
Mm-hmm.
And then you guys came up a couple days later.
Yep.
All I know is I'm going in the back door at the Ryman. There are a lot of folks. And a lot of those autograph bots, people that... want you to sign something so they can sell it immediately.
Yep.
And I'm being hounded, and a voice jumps in from the clouds and goes, stop, he has to get inside. And I looked over and I was like, who is this masked figure? And it was your wife, and she escorted me in the Ryman for an Opry show that me, you, and Michael Ray did.
Yeah, we were there for that show, yeah.
All right, enough. I'm going to read you something she wrote. This was on her Instagram. This man is celebrating his 4th number one on country radio this week. I'll never stop celebrating your accomplishments at Russell D. The little ones, the big ones, and this is the big one. I'll never stop celebrating because I know what it cost to get us here. Sleeping on seatbelts and vans. Watching you put on an arena-worthy show to 6 people in a field who would listen. Barely getting by. Being told no over and over again. All of it. You never wavered, not in your dreams, your work ethic, or in your character. Some people are given success in spite of who they are, and you are given it because of who you are. I'm so thankful our son has you to look up to in every way. 4 for 4, baby. Let's celebrate with some Carrabba's. Thank you, Jesus. There are a lot of things I'd like to talk about in just this paragraph.
For sure.
I think your wife's fantastic, by the way. Love
her. My gosh, dude. She's such a writer, man. She is... Mm.
Love her. Okay, up first, let's talk about the sleeping on seatbelts in vans.
Straight up.
Because when you have to lay down in a van and you can't get the seatbelt all... There's nowhere to put it. It won't go under the seat.
Yeah. There's the seatbelt, like the actual belt with the buckle.
Yeah.
And then there's what you buckle it into that literally is up your crack.
Like, and you can try. You can put a pillow over it. It never stays.
Still. Your hip bone just digging in. Dude, it's the... God bless any and everyone still touring in vans.
I'd like to tell her that was a really fantastic reference that I could feel in my body. Because when... I first started touring doing comedy, I just slept in a Sprinter van in the middle seat
because
the back seat had crap in it. But the middle seat, that seatbelt would suck.
Right there, bro.
Tell me about because she must be talking about a show specifically she remembers. Were you ever in a field and there was...
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We were opening up. I bet the one she's talking about is... Well, dude, there's been a lot. Actually, I have GoPro footage of this show. So we did the NACA circuit, which is National Collegiate whatever, Association of whatever. So they put on shows. So they brought us in for like maybe $250-$500. So we drive 8 hours, the whole band, everybody. And it's for their like, you name it, like registration day. But like nobody cares. You know what I mean? Like nobody came to this function and they just like, they had like, cotton candy and popcorn and everything, and there was legit maybe 20 total people just scattered around these little stations and like zero people up at the stage watching us. And so, you know, that was normal for us.
What goes on in your mind whenever you've been paid to do a show but nobody cares?
My mindset was, we'll get there one day. Like I just if I gained six new fans that show she's talking about, then great. Like, that was my mindset of, like, we will get there one day, six people at a time if we have to. You know, and, like, it was just, in my mind, it was just arenas. And, you know, I watched Garth Brooks' DVDs. I watched Keith Urban's DVDs of their live show. And I just, like, in my mind, I would just kind of go there when there's no one, when no one cares and there's six people in a field.
Isn't it crazy, too? You mentioned Keith. He used to play in an airport. He would stand on that thing where the bags went around. And he would say people would be annoyed that they were playing.
Right.
And he had to visualize something.
Dude.
Like, there's something that he had to focus on just to get to that next step.
Yeah.
Now, here you are. We have a lot of new artists that listen to this podcast specifically because we put on producers, we put on managers. You know, it's a little more on the weeds. But what's great is you're talking about this because there are a lot of new artists right now listening who feel like they can't get that full step forward. It's constantly a step backward. What do you tell them?
You just got to keep showing, like you said, you got to keep showing up. That was what, and you have to do it humbly. You can't rush trying to, you can't be too good for that $250 show. You know what I mean? Like, there comes a point where it financially doesn't make sense, and it didn't, but you know, you just have to show up and show up humbly and keep showing up. Taking 250 because 250 will turn into 500 to 1,000 to 5, you know, until you're opening up for Thomas Rhett, opening up for Kane Brown. And, you know, that was, I don't take any show for granted because I've been there. You know, it's like rich people who used to be homeless. Like, they know they came from nothing and now they have I'm not saying I'm rich. I'm saying, you know.
Listen, I know because I'm living it.
Right.
Like, I was a welfare food stamp kid.
Yeah.
And so I appreciate what I have even more than that.
Yeah.
The same way that, that you're talking about. I want to mention one other thing and then I want to go back. But Carrabba's, that is also a place that Caitlin and I, we'll do Olive Garden on normal nights, but when we get fancy, we go to Carrabba's.
Dude,
because you're speaking our language.
Because Carrabba's is like 22% nicer.
Yeah.
Both are great. Yeah. Love them both. But Carrabba's, I might wear pants. Where I'll wear, I can wear sweats to Olive Garden.
Cargo shorts to Olive Garden.
The Carrabba's, I feel like I need something with a seam.
Yeah. Well, because first of all, the wait staff is dressed a little nice. They're dressed 22% nicer.
Nice.
You know what I'm saying?
I agree. Yeah. Carrabba's is fantastic. The thing I was going to ask is, professionally speaking, and then we'll talk personally in a second, but professionally speaking, what's the one moment where you're like, oh, it all changed right then? Like, what's the one moment you look back and go, that is where my career took a big pivot in the right direction?
I think the first one was the first time I got asked to play the Opry. Because that is, you know, that was the, I mean, every country artist dreamed to play the Opry eventually. And so I remember, I mean, I cried when I found out that I was going to play the Opry because it was so long of turned down by every record label, turned down by, you know, everything, still playing these six people shows and all that stuff for years. And this was like, I think Yours, my first song had come out that me and my manager released independently. And that was when I got asked to play on the Opry. That was like, oh my gosh, somebody recognized. Somebody took notice of what I've been doing for years. And that was like the first step. That was kind of the first one.
Who invited you to play the Opry?
I remember my agent telling me, but I guess it was Pete when he was
okay,
there.
Okay, so Pete before, because, yeah, I played, Sally was the big invite for me.
Yeah.
Who was like, hey, come play the Opry a bunch because they wanted to bring comedy back.
Yeah.
I guess for Pete, I just went and watched the Opry.
Right.
And then now Dan is running it.
Yeah.
And it's fantastic.
Yeah. It absolutely is. Yeah. And it was because this was at the Grand Ole Opry House that I got invited to play. But
you played the Ryman?
I did. That night was the first time.
Oh, so
with you. That was the first time I'd played the Ryman.
Really?
The Opry, yeah.
Wait. That's right. That was, I just told the whole story and then I lost it. That was the first time you played the Ryman?
First time, yeah.
You haven't played a show there yourself?
No.
You're ready for it. And I'm telling you, talk about crying, getting invited to the Opry. You're going to be like, I've been in here. I've played the Opry, but now that people are coming to this building to watch me, it's going to be a moment that you haven't got to have yet, but that you're going to have and really appreciate.
100%, dude.
Because you can sell the Opry now.
Sure.
I don't know if you heard, but you have 4 number ones.
Right.
This new baby you have.
Oh, my gosh.
Because I watch. Like I said, I'm a Russell Dickerson stan. And it seems like you're really enjoying it. Now, social media can sometimes skew.
Yeah.
How much do you love it? And then tell me the difficult parts about it.
Okay. Dude, it is. I mean, it is. Everybody tells you it's life changing. Everybody tells you. But I mean, you just can't. You don't know until you're holding a human being that you created. And so, dude, it is. It's obviously the best thing ever. Not being on tour, careers being at standstills, everything, like, this is worth it. I wouldn't trade this year that we've had for, first of all, her to be pregnant this whole year. And then September 10th, this guy comes and rocks our world. And, you know, like, I thought in the middle of the night when I got to wake up and change his poopy diapers and all that stuff, that I'd be like, oh, God, like, here we go again. Like, please just go back to sleep. But, like, I'll find myself just like, can I keep him awake a little longer and just like rock him at 3 a.m? You know what I mean? When sleep is just, who cares? Because this dude, he's already growing up. He's already changing. And I'm like, I want every second to look into his eyes and for him to smile. And like, that is like I went to run the other day, like to work out. And like, you know, I get 15, maybe 30 minutes. And it's like the fastest time I've ever run ever. Cause I'm like, I got to get back to my son. Like, I miss him so bad. I got to get back. I got to go. You know what I mean? And it's just like that real.
I was talking with Caitlin and we're getting married early summer next year.
Yes.
And we were talking about, cause I figure we'll have kids a little over a year after that. Right.
Mm-hmm.
She's not pregnant now.
Right.
I don't think she is. As of this moment, we do not think she's pregnant now. And I was talking, I said, hey, you know, why don't we get like a night nurse or night nanny? She's like, I don't want that. She goes, I want to be a mom to this kid.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, there's nothing wrong with that. I want to sleep through the night.
Yeah.
So I don't care about a day nanny.
Right. Yeah.
How about a night one?
Yeah.
And she's like, no, I think that's our job as parents to get up in the middle of the night. But I was thinking last night, it's funny you bring up the night. I was like, I'm going to be miserable. I don't want to wake up and change a diaper. I'll wake up and spend all the loving sunshine hours with them.
Yeah.
But you're telling me I'm not going to hate it as much as I think.
No, you're not. I swear.
The other thing she wants me to do is watch the baby come out of her vagina.
I did that.
And I'm anti seeing that because I don't think I can handle that. What would you recommend?
Physically, like, can't handle it.
Oh.
Like vomit, pass out.
I don't know about vomit, but maybe pass out.
Yeah.
But also like, ooh.
Right.
Like, it's like skin rip. I don't need, that's just not what I can, nobody likes it.
Right.
But not what I can think I can take healthily.
Yeah.
But
I mean, as far as like attraction to your wife, dude, don't even, it's so much hotter like afterwards.
What are you talking
about? When you see a woman do that, she is now superwoman in your mind and she can do anything. But I recommend it, bro.
I feel like I've been told I'm wrong in two things. One, shut up and wake up and go change the baby because you'll like it. And two, here comes the head. I need to be right there.
Dude.
GoPro-ing it.
I suggest that.
But the GoPro on my head. Here we go, baby.
No, I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just, that's just my suggestions.
How was labor for you?
For me?
Yeah, I know. Listen,
I almost needed to get an epidural. I'm going to be real.
Right. Like, how stressed out were you? Was it a long process?
It was quick. We checked in at 5 a.m. She got induced though. So, she got induced and she started having like crazy, because I didn't know, this is my own ignorance, I didn't know that like the contractions the whole time leading up were like crazy painful too. I thought it was just like pushing the baby out and that's when, you know, everybody's screaming and whatever. But it's like she started having contractions and she was like, she's a tough girl, and she was like, baby, I don't know, I can't do this much longer. I mean, she's like leaning over the bed and like, I was like, okay, wait, let's get you your epidural. And
were you calm and collected, or were you like, totally. Oh my God?
No, I was calm. Nice. I feel like we're both pretty calm. And so, dude, as soon as she got the epidural, she passed out. We watched New Girl for like 3-4 hours. The nurse came in and was like, you're at 9.5 centimeters. Time to go. So came in, pushed for maybe 30 minutes and watched the baby come out of her vagina.
Mm. You don't make it sound any more appealing. The epidural, does it still hurt even though you have an epidural? Is it just less of a hurt?
No, I think from your like ribs down is completely numb. And so I was like, babe, you made that look so, like 30 minutes after, I was like, babe, you made that look so easy. She was like, honestly, it kind of was. I was like, wow. But that's not the case for everybody. But she is, again, superwoman.
Well, congratulations.
Thanks, bro.
You made me jealous.
I watched the baby come out of the vagina. That's all I'm saying.
That's what I hear. That's what I'm hearing. Well, just from you, but that's what I hear. December 4th, today, the big record, huh?
Yeah. So stoked.
Yeah. Are you happy with it or no?
I'm blown away. Like, I'm so proud of it. You know, as a songwriter, and I feel like record one, you know, you have so many years to write songs for your first record. And this one was so short, but I mean, there was no shortage. I mean, I got 2 songs with Charles Kelly on there when we were on tour with Lady A.
You mean you wrote with Charles?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I just feel like it came so naturally and the song choice was so, cause there was like a certain vein that we're headed towards and Love You Like I Used To really set off that tone, and the title track Southern Symphony really drives that home too. And so I don't know, it was just like, it was such a fun process and so proud of every single song.
Here is Never Get Old, which I believe is the first track.
Yeah, yep. First track.
Here you go. So I saw you doing air guitar there.
Dan Huff, not me. I wish. Dan Huff, dude. That's one of my favorite guitar solos of all time.
Did he produce your record?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the great thing about Dan is he's also the best guitar player, period. So
yeah. Yeah. I mean, he just played on Michael Jackson records. It's cool.
Yeah, Paul Abdul. Don't worry about that.
Gosh,
okay. What have you announced the next single yet?
No, but I mean,
don't.
It's not 100% official, but it's probably going to be Home Sweet.
Which, it's number 2, it's track 2. And here's a clip. Yeah. I don't want to have a clip of that one.
Like, wow, okay, let's go.
Well, maybe later we'll insert it. Hey, the song Come to Jesus, I haven't heard it, yeah. But I'm assuming Come to Jesus, I'm going to assume just by looking at a title, isn't going to be like a Come to Jesus moment. It's probably a song about your relationship with God. True or false?
It is. It's honestly more of surprise, like a love song. It's like she's my come to Jesus.
Oh, cool.
Because I feel like Kales and I feel like I'm like the ADHD all over the place, super hype, crazy. She has to calm me down and get my head straight. And, you know, I'll make crazy decisions any time of the day. And it's that A-B'd with her like calm, steady, wise countenance that, as we all know, she carries.
Did you celebrate your 4th number one with a, because I know you love wine. I've been to your house. You have wine corks from everybody. You're just wine guy.
Yeah.
Did you celebrate with an extremely nice bottle of wine that you normally wouldn't celebrate with?
Absolutely. Mm. Yeah. It was a, I don't know. It was a 2011
$2,000.
Oh, no. Oh, God. No way. God. Only if it was a gift.
Have you been gifted more than $1,000 bottle of wine?
I think so. Dustin Lynch gave me it's a 6-liter bottle. Like it almost comes up to my waist at the end of Thomas Rhett tour.
Do you have a palate that can tell the difference between expensive and cheap wine?
I'd like to think so. But I don't know. I can mainly if I know that I'm tasting expensive one and taste a cheap one, I'll be like, oh yeah, this one's way better.
Is there a club for artists that have topped the charts with every release since their debut single? Because like Luke Combs did it, you did it, you know. So do you guys,
I think that's,
talk amongst each other.
But I haven't talked to him about it, but my manager just told me that me and Luke Combs are the only 2 solo males to have 4 debut in a row.
How's that make you feel?
Insane. makes me want to jump out that window with excitement.
And you would. You are the most excited, life-loving guy I've ever met. I mean, I drove up. I was coming home from the opera and it was dark. And I'm driving in. And to Russell's credit, he was here 10 minutes early, which I loved. And I see just a tall guy wandering in the dark.
Yeah.
With his hands up in the air, like, what up?
What's up, baby?
He's like, what's up? Your wife, she gave you a lot of direction, would love you like I used to.
Mm-hmm.
No chance on getting her a songwriting credit?
I mean, saying a song sucks doesn't really give you songwriting credit, you know? I've heard that a lot. I'd have a lot of writers if that was true. But she did, yeah. I appreciate it because it was not good. It was not what it is now.
Really?
Yeah, oh, not at all. I wish I had a clip.
Same melody?
Clip. The same, like, I don't love you like I used to, is about this. That's it that we kept.
And so you took her feedback and said, okay, we're going to rewrite the song.
Yeah, after I calmed down.
What do your other writers say, though, when they're like, what's your wife doing telling us how to write a song?
Well, see, we're all like college friends. We go way back. And they know, she used to write songs at Belmont. Kaylee did.
And she's a good singer, by the way, too.
Yeah, great singer. Yeah. And so she has this cute little indie pop kind of vibe that she writes and stuff. And so, you know, she's got a great ear for it. And yeah, she told me, she was like, the title of this song is better than the song you just played me. I was so mad. I was like, are you kidding me? Because I was like, I worked my butt off all 2017. This is the first song I wrote in 2018. And I was just like excited to get back in the saddle and just even, you know, just appease me and say, okay, cool. But she was like, no. She was like, title of the song is better than this. So we did. We were out with Lady A and I brought Casey and Parker out and completely just stripped it down and rewrote the entire thing.
Where did the name Remington Edward come from?
So Kales has a friend. So Kales kind of like prayed for a bunch of dreams. Like she's a dreamer. She has these crazy prophetic dreams. And so she'll like text Lauren Akins, be like, hey, I had a dream that you named your kid something. You know what I mean? And she's like, oh my gosh, that's what we were going to name our kids. Stuff like that. I'm like, I don't even know. So she was like, I want some dreams about getting ready to have kids and when should we start? And so she did. She had a few dreams. She was like, but I also want other people to tell me that they've been having dreams too. So of course, like are some friends are texting her every once in a while, like random people, like one of our redneck friends. This dude was like, hey, I had a dream y'all are pregnant. Weird. Cool. Talk to you later. She was like, wow. And so one of our friends said she had a dream and then came back 2 weeks later and was like, okay, I have a confession. She's like, in the dream, it was a boy and his name, I didn't tell you because I wanted to name our kid that, but one of her friends had just named their kid that. And he was like, in the dream, his name was Remington. And we were like, yo, that's kind of sick. Love that. And what was confirmation for me was, so I'm Russell Edward. My dad's Richard Edward. His dad is William Edward. Missed the R there. But then Robert Edward was my great-granddad. And so R-E-D, it's all Edward middle names. And I was like, I want to do R-E-D to keep that tradition going. And it was an R name. I was like, done. That's it. That's great. Love it.
And so he comes out and he's like 10 pounds, right?
Dude, that's what I'm saying. What, back to the vagina. Sorry, is this too much?
Can't get enough.
Back to that. So watching while I'm holding my wife's right leg, I saw this little head. Like, I'm like, oh my gosh, it's freaking happening. It's like, what is that? I'm just trying to give a visual for the people 3 inches and around. It's like, oh, wow, little cute guy. And his head comes out and it's like, and it's just like, oh my, dude, it rocked my world. Cause I thought, you know, we have this little baby coming out. And dude, he came out 10 pounds for it. The nurses were freaking out too. Biggest baby one of the nurses has ever delivered.
They have to get a net like a big fish. It's like, all right, we got him.
So we did put him in a cooler too.
Was he long?
Yeah, like, 22 and a half.
No idea what to compare that to.
Right.
You're an extremely tall guy. Is he tall, a tall baby?
Yeah, very tall.
How tall are you?
6'4". So he, we took him to the doctor, like his 2 week checkup. He said, this baby is bigger than 90% of my 2 month olds. He's a monster. He's huge.
When did you grow?
like 20 or 21, bro.
You weren't 6'4 and towering above everyone
in
your life?
No, no, no. I was like maybe 6 foot in high school, never made the basketball team. I was a late bloomer. You know, I tried out for basketball team all the time, never made it. I don't know. I can't jump high. I was in the marching band, dude. I was in the marching band.
Okay, I'm going to ask you a somewhat deep question.
I love it.
And we're going to end on this.
Okay.
Because we've done 40 minutes already. Listen, hey, I could do this for 2 hours.
Us.
Are you going to CMAs?
Mm-mm.
Are you watching CMAs?
Yeah. We watch them.
Listen, I don't really want to be anywhere, and I get COVID tested 3-4 times a week, but I'm going in the back door. I'm going to present an award, and I'm going right out the back door again.
100%. I do the exact same thing.
I think next year could be a good year for you, though.
Mm-hmm.
So when this about the CMAs.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah.
I mean,
or the ACMs, just that industry, you know, because as soon as you pull the string on that sweater, then the first person gives you some little nod somewhere.
That's it.
Then everybody's like, oh, yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah, I didn't think about that.
100%. That's what I'm excited for about this album is, I mean, it's been 3 years since I put out my first one, you know? Because the singles take so long at radio for a new artist. And now I feel like we've kind of come to that point of, you know, maybe they'll go a little faster. I don't know.
Yeah, I think you've earned that, right? Yeah. Listen, I don't control it, but I think you've earned that, right? So here's my question. What are you trying to say with this new album?
That's a fantastic question. Wow, that is deep. I think I'm learning how to tell my story more honestly of, you know, I'm not afraid to brag on my wife, obviously, with Love You like I used to and Home Sweet and just to really, I'm just trying to tell my story. Like Southern Symphony, the title track is all about, these sounds from my childhood. And that's what makes the Southern Symphony is, you know, where I come from. We wash up before supper. You don't talk back to your mother or you get your butt worn out. And just like, I feel like as a songwriter, I've matured a lot and an artist. And what I'm trying to say is just tell my story better.
You are a unicorn that you grew up in Nashville.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Most folks don't.
No.
Most folks that do don't pursue music. Because they've been around it their whole life.
Yeah, they're just like,
especially the artist side. I know two. You could probably help me out on this to know more, but I know two. You and who's the other one that you think I'm going to mention?
Tucker Bethard?
No, but I guess his dad being here as a writer, that influenced that. Okay, I'm going to know another one. How many can you name? Go.
Oh, gosh. I'm trying to think of, I don't know. Who else?
No other Nashville. Mike, who can you name from Nashville?
Can't think of one.
Let me make sure. I'm gonna give you. Here's your first hint. He has a girlfriend that's a Canadian country singer. She's American too. She lives here, but she's Canadian. Any idea?
No.
Okay. He, I think, has two number ones now. He did a song with Seaford.
Oh, Thomas Rhett. He was Hendersonville.
True, but his dad, yeah, that's true. Yeah. I guess all the kids of writers.
Right. He has way more than two number ones.
Yeah. I'm trying to give you better hints because this is the game we're going to end on. He had a song that was a bad word, started with a B.
Right? Oh, Mitchell Timpani.
Right.
He's a native.
He's a Nashville native. Yeah. So basically you and him are guys that didn't come from lineage country music.
Right.
Born in Nashville, raised here, and decided I want to do this crazy job.
Yeah. I remember Josh Turner sang in my dad's church choir. Long black train, you know what I mean? And I just remember, I was like, dude, if this long, he had long, dude, hair down to his butt. And I was like, if this dude can make it.
Josh Turner had long hair?
Oh, yeah. At Belmont.
Wow.
Yeah. Like crazy long.
Who did you see at Belmont that you were like, oh, I mean, they're for sure going to make it? Anybody?
You know Jordan Reynolds?
I do, the writer.
Tequila, yeah.
Yeah, I know him from Dan and Shay.
Yeah. So there's a country music showcase and, you know, you audition and everything and then you do like this big student production. It's like an arena show and everything goes wrong every time because the student's running it. But there's a winner and it was like me and a couple other people. Jordan was one of them. And like, I go out in the crowd and I'm like shredding my guitar, I'm like playing everything. And I was like, dude, we crushed that. And then like there's industry judges and Jordan Reynolds beat me. He beat me.
Do you remember who the industry judges were? Was anybody cool? I'm sure they're all cool, but anyone that someone who isn't inside the industry would think was cool. Shania?
No, my gosh. No, it's like an intern at some startup publishing company.
Nice.
You know what I mean?
Well, congratulations, man.
Dude, I appreciate you, bro. Thanks for having me on.
No, I was pumped. And when you hit number one again, I told Mike, I was like, I want to get Russell up. I know this week's pretty nutty for everybody, so I appreciate you driving up and
100%
and doing it. All right, Mike, anything you'd like to say to Russell?
I think the tagline for this episode now is back to the vagina.
Back to the vagina. All right, that's it. Thanks, Russell. Wait, everybody, follow Russell. It's Russell. It's just spelled a little weird. Let me walk you through it. R-U-S-S-E-L-L-E. D.
That's it. Russell, middle initial, last initial. That was all that was available at the time, you know? And I had to make
initial.
Up.
It's not Russ. It looks like Russell.
Yeah, it's like Russell, yeah.
Russell E. D.
So I had to make up a slogan.
Russell erectile dysfunction. That's how we should all remember it.
Yep, that's right. It. We'll end there.
All right, there he is. Russell Dixon, everybody.